It's the Good Glow podcast with Rachel Gorry. This season of the Good Glow is brought to you with thanks to Dove's new Advanced Care Body Wash. This week, I'm back using the Gentle Scrub. It is so nice. It smells so good. And I get out of my shower feeling so clean and refreshed. Unlike ordinary body washes, it's made with 24-hour renewing micro moisture. So what does that mean? Well, it's a groundbreaking new technology from Dove that deposits millions of tiny but powerfully moisturizing droplets that instead of just getting washed off when your shower is finished, they absorb deeply and continuously work with your skin's natural renewal process to strengthen your skin's barrier and help retain and boost moisture even after your shower. So we all love an upgrade. Why not upgrade to Dove's new Advanced Care Body Wash, available now nationwide? Welcome along to the Good Glow with Rachel Gorry, and I'm beaming from ear to ear. I've literally just finished recording with Rachel. I wanted to record my intro straight away because I wanted you to hear how genuinely excited I am after listening to her, and inspired, and I cannot wait for you to listen to this podcast. Rachel's husband Daniel died in 2020 of cancer, and I think as a nation we watched her heartbreak, and that was so difficult to watch such a young lady in so much pain. But what we get from Rachel today is Rachel, 4 years later, somebody who knows herself so well, somebody who knows grief so well, and somebody who has done such an incredible job over the last 4 years of raising her three children. And the biggest message that I got from this podcast is you have to give yourself permission. You have to give yourself permission to be happy, to try again, to take the leap. It all stops with us, and we can hold ourselves back sometimes. And I'm so happy that Rachel has finally given herself permission to find love and happiness again, because she deserves it every single day for the rest of her life. So thank you, Rachel. I've linked her Instagram page in the show notes if you want to pop her off a little message after listening to this episode. And I have a feeling you will. I hope you enjoy. Rachel, I knew this day would come again that I got to speak to you on the Good Glow. So thank you so much. How are you?
I'm good. It's so good to see you and to be talking to you again. It's been a while. It's been a few years.
I was just saying to you before I pressed record that you're still the exact same person that I met in 2020, that you have this, I feel like you're such a public figure, but you don't love being a public figure.
I hate it. Look, it's such an honour to be asked to be on the podcast, but in the nicest way possible, I hate them. I will do them and I will come on. And of course, I was going to say, yeah, when you asked me to come back on again. And I love having the catch ups, but I don't know what it is that terrifies me about podcasts. But I'll do them. Here I am.
It's so funny, though, isn't it? Because we're kind of the same. Like before I got sick, I worked in radio and like I was totally anonymous. And then this terrible thing happens in your life and all of a sudden people know you. But in the nicest way possible, because people are like willing you on or wishing you luck, and it's just a nice community to be a part of.
It is lovely.
How have the last couple of years been for you? Like I last saw you in 2020.
God, it's been, you know, it's been a quick few years. I'm doing really well, to be honest. Like I have my good days and my bad days, but overall I'm doing really good. The girls are doing fantastic.
It's so mad to see them so grown up. Like it's we've all gone on such a journey with you, and they really, when you look back at photos of that time, like they were so tiny.
So tiny. Like Leah's 6 foot tall now. She's taller than me, and she's not one I really to be on my socials much. I have to kind of like come on and say hello, you know. She's just getting to that age now. She's in second year in school, and the girls are just gone so big. I look back and they're, like you said, babies, and now they're like proper little women. I can't get over it.
What does it feel like to have all girls and just your squad around you?
Do you know, it's amazing because you have your little girly tribe and you have your, or like little best friends. Now, don't we kill each other as well? There does be rows, especially Leah's getting to that age now. She's robbing makeup and she's robbing my clothes and, you know, this kind of thing. But I'm really blessed to have three daughters. Obviously, I'm going to say that because I don't have sons. But I love the fact we're just as close as we are. Four girls in the house.
Oh, it's so lovely to see. And what are your like favorite things to do together? I know you used to share like movie nights and your little treats that you have. Do you still,
oh, still
do things
movie
like that?
Nights. We still, sometimes though, when all the treats are gone, they're kind of like, can we go? Can we go back to our room now? I don't think they want to spend as much time with me as they did when they were little. And we do our little shopping trips, and I love going to watch them football. They're into their sport, so I love going to watch their matches and do stuff like that. But the older they're getting, the more kind of I don't think it's cool to hang out with your mammy.
Yeah,
I still have Hannah. Still, I still have the youngest. She's still kind of there, but the older they're getting, I'm kind of like, okay, kind of have to let them go a little bit.
Yeah, like loosen the strings a little bit.
I know.
And your mom was a such a help to you and such a supporter to you over the last few years. How is she?
She's brilliant. I honestly, I wouldn't have been able to get through the couple of years without her. I really wouldn't have. You know, she basically put her whole life on hold when Daniel got sick. Daniel asked her to move in with us. And because you know yourself, when you're sick and you're going through chemotherapy and you have cancer, if you have a temperature, you go straight into the hospital, and it doesn't matter if it's 2 o'clock in the morning. And I was often ringing people in the middle of the night saying, can you come and sit with the girls? We have to go to the hospital. And you could be gone, you know yourself, for a day, a week. You just don't know. So she moved in with us in case anything like that happened. And then she didn't leave. It was nearly 2 years after Daniel died that she went. So she literally put her life on hold, concentrated on me and my girls, and was my absolute rock. Like she still is, even though she doesn't live with me anymore. She went home. She's still my rock. I'm still ringing her 10 times a day.
Yeah, it's like me with my mum. She's like, you rang me 10 minutes ago. Like, what could you possibly want again?
Yeah, just ringing, what are you doing?
I know, sometimes I think it's my mum looking at the phone going, I can't believe she's ringing me again.
Cancel.
What was the day like when she moved out? Like, it must have felt like such an end of a chapter.
Oh my God, I bawled my eyes out. I actually kind of thought I became so dependent on her so much, I didn't think I would be able to do it by myself. Do you know, I always kind of had her there. And then if I was feeling like really low or really down, I'd find myself gravitating towards the bedroom where I would sit. And she'd be straight up to that bedroom. She's like, come on, we're doing this, or we're doing that, or I'm after making a cup of tea and make them down. And, you know, she wouldn't let me. You know, she's like, I don't want her sitting in that room for hours by herself. And then I kind of felt like, oh my God, like, am I going to just sink into this? Like, I won't have anyone there to kind of, even though 2 years had passed, I still kind of depended on her to be like, right, come on, let's go. You know, so I didn't know how. I didn't know how I'd cope.
Oh my God. Because when you think about it, Rachel, you were so young. Like, you still are so young to have had to go through all of that. I remember, you know, with Pia, because I was sick with Pia, my mum helped me with absolutely everything. I almost felt like I couldn't go for a walk by myself during that time, because I think people around you, they're so afraid of you slipping. They want to be there to catch you if you fall mentally, absolutely. I think. So with Tali, the second time round, like feeling well and being able to do things for myself has been such a different experience for me. Really? I feel all grown up.
You're doing it, good woman.
Like, I can actually go for a walk by myself with my baby. But like, that's how much support you need in a tough time, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't even go and do the food shop by myself. I got this anxiety after Daniel died. I went to the doctor. I literally couldn't do anything. I felt like leaving the house was such a massive deal, and I would have never been like that before. And the doctor was saying, basically, with grief, you can get anxiety, where I now have like really crippling social anxiety. And like, for me now to go and do the food shop, I eventually pushed myself to do it, but it was such a massive thing to do. Whereas now I'm like in and out and it's no problem. But it was such a massive ordeal for me. And then when my mom moved out, I kind of thought, what am I going, like, how am I going to do all these things by myself? Slowly but surely I did, and you know, things are good now, but it was absolutely crippling.
Wow. And I feel that, like, I totally get what you mean. Like, when you say there, like, Daniel died, does that still take your breath away? Because I know when Jamie says, oh, my dad died, I'm like, oh God, just saying it even five years later is so weird.
It is. And you know, sometimes I feel like it only happened yesterday, but then I feel like sometimes it feels like it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, it's so bizarre. Like, and some days it's so fresh. And then other times I'm like, I have to listen to a video because I want to hear his voice again, or I want to hear his laugh. You know, like sometimes I feel like, God, it's been such a long time. And then tomorrow I could say, God, I only feel like I lost him yesterday. It still doesn't feel real to say. And I don't like saying like dead. That hits, like the kids, they'll say sometimes, you know, we were on holidays and there was a little girl and she was like, which one? I was on holidays with all my friends and she was like, which one is your daddy? And Hannah was like, my daddy's dead. And I was like, oh my God. But the way she said it, I was like, oh, it sounds so like, I know he's dead, but that word is so, I like to use like past, and it's so silly because they're the same, but it just like, oh God, like he's dead. Like sometimes I have to sit with that and say, he is dead, he's gone, he's not coming back. And sometimes that still, over 4 years later, is quite hard to believe and to take.
Yeah, the word is so final, I think.
Yeah.
It's just, and I know the way you dealt with your grief was believing in the signs, and my God, like when you're in the depths of despair, to get a sign is literally a lifeline, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It absolutely is. I'd sit at the grave where there would be boards in all the trees. And to me, I'm like, that's a sign. That's Daniel. You know, you go, you see butterflies. I could go to a place where, you know, those butterfly, I actually have never been to one, but you know what I'm talking about? Those things where they have all the butterflies. I could go to them and see all the butterflies and be like, that's a sign. Like, I take them out of nowhere. Like, my family are like, yeah, there's another sign. I'm just, but it makes me feel better. So I take signs out of everything. Do you know, the light bulb could need to be replaced. And I'm like, that's Daniel. That's a sign. Yeah.
What did you like? What is he? Well, I don't know how to say this, but like, in what way do you miss him most?
Do you know, I miss like just spending time with him. I miss like rearing the girls with him, or if I have a problem, to be like, what do you think? I miss his laugh, because we used to laugh so much. Like, he was such a messer and a joker. And yeah, I just miss, sorry if that's the dog sneezing beside me.
What's your dog's name again?
Teddy.
Yeah, Teddy.
He's here asleep beside me, sorry. I just miss his presence and his laugh and just having him here. I miss everything, but that would be the biggest thing, just his laugh and just messing with him.
Yeah, and you took all the photos and you have all the videos, didn't you?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And then I think when he was sick, we even more so, you know, you're like, right, take the videos, take the pictures. And I suppose we were lucky enough that it wasn't until the last, so Daniel was sick for 18 months, and it wasn't until the last couple of weeks that he started to really look sick. Because even when he lost his hair, Jesus, Georgia, he was sexy. He pulled that off like so well, and he just never looked sick. So even in the videos, when he's sick, he doesn't look sick. So yeah, I can look at them. Whereas in the last couple of weeks, I struggle still to look at those videos because he looks sick and he looks gaunt. But every other video we took, I'm like, no, he looks healthy and he's happy and we're laughing and they're lovely to look at.
And is it when he was healthy and well, is that the version of him you remember?
Oh yeah, I don't think of Daniel on his deathbed. When I talk about Daniel's last moments, is the only time I picture him like that. And that used to actually haunt me. God, for years, even after he passed, I couldn't sleep, because him like that and in my arms taking his last three breaths haunts me. To like, it makes me cry to talk about it. To this day, every other time I think about Daniel, he's healthy, he's well, and that's the way he wanted to be remembered. You know, even when he was sick, he would say, maybe we shouldn't be taking photographs like this, because, you know, I don't want you looking at them and you know, and remembering me like that. And I still can't. I don't go into them.
Yeah, and he will live on forever as the way he was when he was healthy and well. And like, we all have seen the photos of him and videos, and he's so gorgeous, had such a presence, and you can see him in your girls, you know.
Oh God, I see him so much in Holly. She's the spit of him, but also her personality. But I see his personality come out in all three of them, and it's so lovely to see, because I feel like he's not really gone with them around, because they remind me of him every day, or the little traits they have. And even though they're so small, when he passed, they still do. And it's mad to see. So as long as the girls are living, Daniel will never be truly passed.
Yeah,
I feel.
Absolutely. He'll live on, and then through grandchildren, and it will just keep going and going. And, you know, his memory will be kept alive. In those days, in the early days, did anything help you? Because I always feel like the good glow is a really good way to ask people, like, what helps or what doesn't help? You know, if anyone is going through it or their friend is going through it, like, did anything make you feel better?
I mean, I suppose talking to family and friends, but I remember my family would say things to me and I wouldn't take it in. And I went to therapy and, you know, the therapist would say things to me that my family would have said. And I'd come home and I'd say, oh my God, like, listen to this. And they'd be like, we said that to you. And I'm like, yeah, but not the way she did. Or like she'd say with grief, it's kind of like the ocean and the waves. I kind of remember I said to my mom one day, I can't take this physical pain anymore. Like, I feel like I was just kept getting knocked down and I couldn't cope. And the pain, I never thought you'd feel physical pain like that without actually being physically hurt. It didn't make sense to me. Like, I had such a pain in my chest and I was so broken. And I remember the therapist just saying, it will take a bit of time, but eventually the waves at the minute are just knocking you down. And they're so tall and they're just, it's so overwhelming. But eventually there'll be a little bit of a space where you'll have a little bit of a breather time. And it is true. You do get a few days where you're like, okay, I can cope. But then another one will come. Mm-hmm. But it's easier to deal because they're spread out a little bit more. You know, and sometimes the ocean is calm because you have your good days. And then sometimes it's chaotic and overwhelming. And I think once I knew, okay, I'm not going to feel this forever. I'm going to get a little bit of a break to feel okay. I didn't think I'd ever leave my bedroom again, to be honest.
Oh my God. Like, just when you're saying that, I have a lump in my throat because that is such a powerful analogy. And actually, there's hope in that, you know, and that's obviously what you felt there, is that, okay, the waves are coming in thick and fast, but maybe someday I'll be able to stand or find my balance again.
And then you can see another wave coming. So the waves have passed and you're standing and the water's calm and you're like, okay, I can take my breath. And then you see one coming. I always feel like I know when a bad day is coming. I can always feel it. So I can see it. So I'm ready. I'm prepared. And I just feel like when you're having those days, sit with your grief, because I'm over 4 years in and I still have my really bad days where I'm like sobbing on the floor. I genuinely don't think that the grief gets easier. But I think you learn to live with your grief and you learn to deal with your grief. I think that's the difference. And I think maybe that's where people might mix that up.
Yeah. And I think for all of us looking on, like when you were saying there, you know, I felt like I'd never find my feet or I'd never recover. I think for all of us looking on, like you were so in such a bad place that it was literally heartbreaking to watch your heartbreak, you know?
Yeah.
Like, how much did it mean for you to have supportive strangers around you?
I mean, I always say I owe my followers so much, because I suppose, like I was saying with the therapist, sometimes your family might say things and you don't take it on board, but when a complete stranger says it to you, it resonates with you. And I think I was sitting and I was talking to people who are going through the exact same thing, or I was talking to people who were maybe experiencing grief or people going through treatment or anything themselves, and it was, or even people who weren't, that you could just sit and talk to and, you know, hear their stories and, you know, get the lovely messages in. And it was, I don't want to sound dramatic, but it was life changing for me. Mm-hmm. And it was life saving for me, you know, sitting up in my bedroom. I'll never forget it. I was the bed, like I was in a super king size bed. We got the big bed so the five of us could sit and watch movies, because we were big into our movies. And you're sitting in this, and I'm this tiny little thing in the middle of this big empty bed, sobbing my heart out, thinking my life is over. What am I going to do now? And then I'm sitting and I'm reading all these comforting messages, and honestly, I think saved me.
Oh, wow. That is so powerful. You're so genuine in everything you say. It's so straight from the heart.
It gets me in trouble sometimes because I just word vomit.
I know. It's like when you wear your heart on your sleeve, there's like, you can't live any other way, you know? Yeah. And that's obviously why you have to protect yourself a little bit, because you do wear your heart on your sleeve. But Daniel obviously left wanted you to be left with this beautiful house and home. And yeah. I know that you didn't get it finished, but you carried on and you continued. Like, what did it feel like just continuing on with the build of your house afterwards? I know the bones of it were there, but...
Yeah, I think like... Daniel left me the cheeky, I always say, you cheeky whore. He left me with a list and he was like, this is what needs to be done. So I had this list, but to be honest, that list kept me going. So I kind of felt then like after Daniel had passed, it was kind of like, I felt like I needed to like honor him and right. Daniel said this needed to be done and I needed to get through this list. And the list was pages and pages long. And I remember my ma saying to me when we completed the list, she was saying, I was dreading this day because you were so focused on this list and you were so focused on Daniel said this needed to be done and you were all go and it kept you going. And she said it was great because you had a purpose. But she said, I would say to, you know, my siblings, she'd say, what are we going to do when this list is gone when she has the list done? You know, then what? But there was always something else that needed to be done.
Yeah. You know, as you take things off, you were adding things down the bottom.
Adding things to the list. Yeah, but he gave me the list. So it was kind of like I wanted to honour him to finish the house. We were so grateful. We didn't think we'd get in the house at all when Daniel was sick. And we did. And he lived for 3 months in the house. So I think I was so grateful for that. And then it was like, okay, let's finish it and do it for him because we had planned it together. So I knew what we wanted and he left the list. So I was like, let's finish it the way we had always talked about. And yeah. That was kind of empowering, I suppose, for me to be able to do.
Yeah, what a lovely list. Or what a lovely thing. What a lovely list.
The list was a lovely job. You want to see this list?
What a lovely thing to leave. Because if the house had been finished, then you'd just be sitting in your perfect house. It was like he handed over the reins to you. Okay, keep going. That's keep so beautiful. It, yeah. So like if you ever meet somebody and they're finding themselves in the same position as you, do you and their loved one is alive, do you encourage them to do anything? Like, is there anything that helped you? Like, was it notes or voice memos, or is there anything that you encourage people to do?
I always say you can never have too many videos and photographs, and especially the videos, because you want to see the way they walk and the way they move and the way they talk and they laugh. Daniel wrote me letters. I didn't know that he was doing it at the time, and it wasn't until after he passed. So he was on his deathbed and he said to me, I wrote you letters, and he told me where to go and find them, and he said, when I pass, find them. So that's what I did. These letters, they were they were funny. He was slagging me in them. He had letters for the kids. They were funny. They were sad. He talked about my future and he would always talk about me moving on and stuff. And I didn't want to hear it.
Yeah.
And say, I don't want to talk about this, whatever. And he was like, no, listen, you have to be happy and say all this. But he wrote everything in the letter. And I suppose when I'm having a day or when I'm doubting myself, I go straight to the letters. And I read them and they're pages and pages long. And he wrote them over the series of the 18 months that he was sick, because he'll say like, you know, today we did this, and he'll explain what we did. And he'll be like, I was just looking at you with the girls and thinking like how lucky I am and how much I love you. And then he'd go on to like another day, and he was just writing them over a series of the 18 months. And they got me through. And still to this day, I only took them out last week and gave them a read, and Leah reads them. And yeah, it's just, I think if anyone was, and it's hard to do, and I can't imagine what it was like for him to do. So I couldn't imagine what it would be like for a person to have to sit down and write a letter like that. I could imagine it's an extremely difficult thing to do. But when I tell you, that is like a lifeline, like that list. The girls also, we got Build-A-Bear teddies, and Daniel had his voice put in the teddies. And they can listen to them. We also got it recorded in like frames. So you can scan the QR code and they'll hear his voice. So he's like, hello, Hannah, daddy loves you so much and I'm so proud of you. And like all this kind of stuff. And they can just listen to it. Because the Build-A-Bear teddies, they do. You only get so many presses. Yeah. But we got it recorded in the QR code. And the girls have it in a frame in their bedroom with his voice. And it's so lovely to have. So things like that, they're like precious.
Yeah. And yeah. Do you know what? Hearing, I'm so proud of you. I love you so much. You could still be pressing that when you're 60,
oh, absolutely.
70
yeah.
and need that pep talk from a parent. That is yeah. so, and you know, on their wedding days and
even in the letter. So he even speaks and how he even taught about it. He talks about the girls when they're old enough to have boyfriends. And but he also mentions, you know, when it's the time comes and if you have boyfriends or girlfriends. And I just thought it was so good that he thought that the girls might have girlfriends. And to put that in and to get the seal of approval of that, even I think to even think it up, because I think it's an easy slip of the mind
to just presume.
But the fact that he put it in just in case, just to cover, you know, to say like, and if you have boyfriends or girlfriends one day, and then went on. And I was just like, God, that's so lovely that if it turns out that one of the girls have a girlfriend, that's like, daddy, you know what I mean? Look, daddy had already said that and stuff. I just think he thought of absolutely everything.
He did. Because yeah. that was just going through his mind. And I know cancer is so cruel, but in a way you get the gift of saying goodbye sometimes with a cancer diagnosis when a death is so sudden. Yeah. I mean, you're just left not knowing what that person was thinking, or, you know, even what you said about him writing things down about his wishes for you for the future. It's almost yeah. like giving you permission to not let go in any way, but just, I always say, like, if your shoulders are pointed this way, it's just like slightly turning you. And like knowing that that's okay, you're never yeah. going to forget him. You're never going to stop loving him. But it's also okay to like find some happiness again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. And like you said, to know what they want. Because people always say, do you think it would have been easier to just lose him in a second and not to watch him deteriorate in front of your eyes, which is obviously so difficult to do. But I think, like you said, you have kind of time that you can say goodbye mm-hmm. and that you can put things in place. And, you know, I'm so grateful that we were able to do that and that we had those 18 months that we knew, okay, we didn't know how long we had, but we knew we don't have long. And yeah. to just make the most of that time together, it was so precious and meant so much that we could say things to each other and have those difficult conversations and maybe conversations that you wouldn't ordinarily have, you know. And I just think that that's what means the most.
Yeah. Like, tell me about like the Rachel before even Daniel got sick and the Rachel now. Obviously you're going to be different. You're, you know, so many years have passed and you've raised three gorgeous girls, but like, how differently do you look at life?
God, I do look at life differently. I suppose I feel like the Rachel before Daniel got sick was so incapable of everything. Like, I couldn't do anything. Georgie, I couldn't even use my bank card, I swear to God. I didn't know how to do, even like when it came to like paying bills and doing all this kind of stuff. Like, Daniel kind of used to do it all on the laptop, and I'm so bad with things like that. I'd be like, oh, the car needs to be insured. He'd be like, oh, I did it. Or and now I'm like, oh, I have to insure the car. Who am I insured by? Or I have to do this. And I'm like, who's the internet? You know, I'm always like, I didn't know how to do anything. And then I feel like I just got so independent then after, because I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I was like, oh my God, I have to get all my ducks in a row. And I didn't know how to do anything. And I feel like, God, I'm quite independent now. I'm quite capable. I didn't think. And I think everybody used to say, Rachel's not going to cope after Daniel dies. Like, she's not going to manage. And, you know, he'd say to me, you know, you will do this and you can, and you have to for the girls, just because, you know, I'm going to lose my life. You have to live on for them, and you have to make sure, and don't, they're going to be so devastated to lose a parent. Don't let them lose another one. Like, you have to be there and you have to. So I think to have that, I was like, right, I have to like pull my socks up and do it all now. So I think I'm a lot more capable than I thought. And I'm a lot more, I think, grateful for the life that you have. I suppose when you know that it can be taken away in a second, you kind of do look at life differently. I don't sweat the small things as much. I still sweat some small things, I'm not going to lie. The girls don't clean the room, I'm like, girls. I don't really let smaller things bother me. I kind of think, look, life is for living and just.
Yeah. Just a short break to thank Dove Advanced Care Body Wash for supporting the Good Glow this season. It's a big year for Dove. This is their best ever body wash with 24-hour renewing micro moisture. If your self-care needs an upgrade, you can choose to pamper, deeply nourish, hydrate or gently scrub with 10 gorgeous variants. And it's also free from sulfates, has biodegradable ingredients and is packaged in recycled plastic bottles. So say goodbye to dry skin this season and step out feeling more beautiful and confident in your own skin with thanks to Dove Advanced Care Body Wash.
I think it gives you patience, doesn't it, with your kids? Like, it's almost like you just see how precious the people you love most are. And I know, well, for me, I used to be quite an impatient person. But after, you know, in my recovery, I was like, I don't care anymore. Like, I just want them to be happy. I'm never going to give out to them. Like, it's so hard. But, it gives you an appreciation for the people you love and the people absolutely. You have in your life.
It does. That appreciation is, there's nothing like it. I think everyone on some level takes life for granted. Yeah. I think we all do, you know, and then something happens that you go, oh, wow. Like, literally, we can lose it in an instant, like, or lose anybody in an instant. And even still terrifies me to thought that one day I know I'm going to lose my ma. And I'm like that. I've said it word so many times. I'm like that. You don't know how much that terrifies me. Like, that scares me so much. Like, so I just think to be grateful for, like, in my life now, I always say we're happy. We're healthy. And after that, listen, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, in this moment, I'm not going to look too much into the future. But right now, things are great.
That's amazing.
And that's what I focus on.
That's amazing. And yeah, it is. I couldn't imagine having that conversation with my mum. Like, I couldn't even say it out loud. So, like, I suppose, but it is important to have these conversations, isn't it? And tell people how much you love them. What I was going to say there is, you know, the way you might have seen, I always say these are the good old days. Like, I always say it to my family, my brothers, whenever we're up for a family dinner, I'm like, these are the good old days. Like, these are the days we're going to look back on someday and say, wow, like, wasn't that amazing? And I feel like you're, how do I put this? But like, you weren't in your good old days for a few years there, but maybe you can kind of see, maybe you're stepping back into your good old days a little bit in this chapter of your life.
I hope so. And, you know, my friends and family say, we can see the old Rach again. You know, I was in a place for a long time where I was just, my ma used to say, you just look so sad. And you still look so sad. And my eyes were so sad. And I remember my family would come over, like my ma and my, they'd be here every day. And they'd go home and Leah would be like, oh, stay, you know, don't go yet. And she would always do it. And I had to sit her down and say, why do you keep doing that every time someone goes to leave? Like, why do you not want them to leave? And she was like, you're always so happy when they're here. And when they go, you always look so sad. Oh. That broke my heart because I was thinking, and even I obsess me now even thinking about it, because I don't want my girls to grow up to be like, mommy's sad all the time. You know, and that broke my heart. So I really had to say, like, and this was years after Diane passed, and I had to say, right, cop on. You know, you seriously need to, you know, not just, not that it was always a front, but you know, when people are around,
yeah,
I don't know, they might bring out the good, and you know, you laugh and smile. And then obviously when you're on your own, like Leah used to feel like she used to have to sit with me in the evenings, you know, I'd say, are you going down to do whatever? And she'd say, no, I'll sit with you. Or a friend would say, do you want to come for a sleepover? And she'd be hesitant because she always wanted, she didn't want to leave me on my own. And she said one day, and she was like, I just don't want to leave you on your own. And then I was like, right, I need to seriously now. So then I was like, right, pull up your socks. I still show the girls that I'm sad, but it was like, right, I need to now be happy and just like start living my life again. And when my friends, my family now say, we can see the old Rach. And when I laugh now and I see the girls looking at me and then they're laughing and they're beaming, they're so happy, that makes my heart so full.
And I think, like, as we looked in at you, it was obvious that the only person that needed to give you permission to be happy again was you.
Yeah, 100%. And I didn't know that. And I wish someone had said it sooner. Although if they did, I probably wouldn't have listened.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think it's us who doesn't let us be happy. You know, we stand in the way of ourselves for so many different reasons, I would say. But I do feel like I'm getting the old reach back.
Yeah.
I do feel like that.
And your smile is so bright. And actually, we didn't know the old Rach. Like, we didn't know you before story. So to see you beaming, it literally comes out off the phone. And I know we've been talking like for a couple of weeks, and we've been trying to get a date in the diary and things like that. And thank you so much for coming on to the Good Glow, because like, this is your life. It's not just a story. I always say it's not just a story for a podcast. Like, this is your real life.
Yeah.
But I went off to Chicago last week, and we were sitting around a table at our welcome party, and one of the girls, Hillary, brought up you. And, you know, everyone was like, oh my God, I'm so happy for Rachel, and she looks so happy, and isn't it amazing? And I knew that we had the podcast coming up, but I didn't say anything just in case it didn't happen. But I was like, isn't that like, we're all the way in Chicago, and there's a group of Irish girls sitting around a table speaking about how happy they are for you. Now, I know that you don't discuss your new relationship, and I all I'm thinking of is there's people screaming down the phone, Georgie, ask. I'm not going to ask, but what is there anything you can say or share with us?
Of course. I'm so happy. You know, I never thought I would find love again. I genuinely didn't. And then when I kind of, the loneliness crept in, and I kind of thought, you know, maybe I am ready to put myself out there again. I kind of thought what would happen was I would find a companion. I was lonely and I just kind of wanted a companion. I never thought in my wildest dreams that I would ever fall head over heels about somebody. I really didn't. And I sometimes, when I'm talking about, I can't wipe the smile off my face. I feel like a teenager again. And he's just so lovely. And the girls love him, absolutely love him. And I'm so happy. And they're happy. And when we're messing in the kitchen and stuff, and the girls do be looking at us, and they're like, oh, you're so cute. And I just think they're beaming, and I think they're like, it's all, mommy's okay now. And yeah, we're all just so happy. And I'm like,
that's amazing. And especially when you link it back to the story of Leah sitting with you on the couch and saying, why are you so sad? Like, what, how happy must they be to see the most important person in their life beaming from ear to ear after so much sadness?
I know. And even for them, though, because I always felt like they always craved, you know, and I always even felt like with my male friends coming or my brother coming, the girls always kind of craved the male attention. And it used to break my heart. And even we'll go to the football matches, and like, himself will come along, or he'll be like, oh, do you know, you need to practice this. And he'd be out kicking ball with the girls in the garden. And I'm just like, how lovely is this that they, you know, that they have this male figure in their life that can do this again. And they're like so happy with this. And they're like, can we tell our teacher you have a boyfriend?
So they're going, like, well, if she follows me on Instagram, it's a no.
They're going in like spilling the beans to the teachers. But I'm like, they're just so happy that they just can't wait to tell people. And, you know, so I just, to see the little smiles on their faces as well, like, that they're so happy as well as me, is just, I'm so grateful.
Yeah, and you must be so happy that you gave yourself permission.
Because that can be hard, you know, the guilt can be overwhelming at times. And I still get guilt. You know, sometimes when you feel really happy, you kind of feel the pang of like, oh God. But also then I have to like go back to the letters. And, you know, I think because life is so short, and I think especially when people go through circumstances like that, you know, you had cancer, so I can never compare myself to that, because obviously I never like lived that. I watched my husband go through, and I was there. But to know, I think when you go through something like that and you lose someone like that, I think you realize how precious life is. And I think sometimes people might expect you to nearly lay down and die because the person that you love died. But I think that gives you all the more reason to grab life with both hands, because you know how precious life is, and you know that it can be taken away in an instant. And so grab it and live your life, because we're not here for a long time.
Yeah. And I think for anyone, if the thoughts of leaving their family, of course you would want your partner to, you know, or for your kids to have another person, another figure in their life, you know, to chat to. And Sorry. But I was going to say, if I died, I'd want Jamie to move on. But I just don't want to make it about me.
No, you say that because it's funny that you say that, because when Daniel said to me, you know, I want you to move on and I want you to be happy. And he said, like, if the table was turned and it was the other way around, wouldn't you want me to move on and be happy? And I was like, no. I was like, if I die before you, you will not move on.
Yeah, it's just when you think of your kids, like I would of course want my children to have a mother figure.
Of course.
Yeah. You know, like, and someone that they can confide in. Like, that's all you want for your kids, is to feel safe and supported. 100%. So if that involves your partner moving on, of course you would want that.
Yeah. You don't want them to be sad all the time. Like when Leah said that to me, it broke my heart. You know, yeah. And you don't want that, and you don't want to look down and see. And obviously, like you said, I think what Daniel used to always say when he was sick was, he was like, we were always so grateful it wasn't one of the kids. Could you imagine? Like, we were always so grateful. Look, at least the kids are healthy. And he said, if either one of us was to get sick, he said, I'm so glad that it was me. And he was like, to have like the mother figure there. And then you kind of put yourself in that situation to think, oh my God, imagine if then the girls didn't have a mammy. Of course you would want your partner to find somebody and be happy, and so the girls have that mother figure in their life.
100%.
Yeah.
I was thinking there that it was almost like it was Daniel speaking to you through Leah. Like, do you ever feel like that they're like messengers for him?
Yeah, I do sometimes with things that they say, yeah. And then yeah. I sit at the grave, like I like to go up and just have my chats with them. And I know this is terrible, but sometimes the girl's like, can we go? I'm like, oh. Because they go up there and they're there for 5 seconds and they're like, it's cold. Or like, they'll run around and play. And then they're like, can we go? But I like to sit for a while. Like, I like to just, we have little benches and I just think it's so peaceful and it's so quiet. And I like just to sit. And if I'm ever worried or I have thoughts, or I just like to sit with them there. And I feel like, obviously he's not talking back, because that would be quite strange, wouldn't it? But I always feel like, when I'm leaving, I know what I'm doing. I know what to do now.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Because you are the person who knew him most. So of course you know what he's saying to you.
Yeah.
You know, every day you know what he's saying to you. And you gotta keep that and stay connected to that.
Yeah.
So two more questions. How nice has it been for everyone to be so happy for you or to wish you well?
It was very mind-blowing now, I must say. The families, I knew the families were all going to be really supportive. I knew that, because they would often say it, like, and, you know, Daniel's family had mentioned it to me before, that, you know, you're such a young woman and you need to move on. And, you know, we don't like to talk to you being up there on your own. And I know my family, like my ma, always worried so much, you know, about me. And so I knew that they were going to be absolutely thrilled. I wasn't expecting the outpour online. I really wasn't. To be honest, I was kind of bracing myself for a little bit of backlash, because, you know, you have to kind of take the good with the bad. So I was kind of expecting some people are going to say maybe nasty things here. But oh my God, the love. I couldn't get over it. And it was so lovely. And then it just, like, it made me feel just so, and for people to be so happy for a stranger that they've never met before and to be like so genuinely happy was just so heartwarming.
Yeah, but you're so genuine, and that's why you're attracting like genuine happiness, because, you know, like we said earlier, you've got your heart on your sleeve. And I was so delighted for the news. I never even, you know, I wasn't speculating whether you're in a relationship or not, but I knew the day would come that you'd announce it if you're in a relationship when you're ready. And oh my God, what a great full circle moment, especially, as I said, as we've seen you just suffer so much.
Yeah.
Leave us with a mantra or some sort of quote that you think, you know, has helped you or might help other people.
Oh, so I think maybe like one thing that someone said to me, and it always kind of sticks to me, and I go by that now, is like, nobody can take away your pain. So don't let anybody take away your happiness. Like, I live for now. I cherish the memories. I obviously cherish the past and stuff, but I also look forward to what tomorrow might bring and what the future holds. And I trust that maybe good things are coming.
Oh. Amazing. It is actually amazing when you get to a place in your life where you stop looking at the past. And as I said, like, you know, just turning your shoulders slightly, yeah. and all you can see is the road ahead. And it's like you're running a marathon. We are all side of the road cheering you on every single step of the way. You deserve all the happiness and success and love in the world, Rachel. Thank you for coming on the Good Glow today and giving us a beautiful update. I hope you'll be back in a couple of years.
I was just going to say anytime, but then I'm like, Georgie, please give it a while. I will definitely be back, but give it a few years.
Oh, a huge thank you to Rachel for coming on to the podcast today. And isn't it just so lovely to see someone so genuinely happy, but also someone who cares so much about other people and is willing to pass on everything that she's learned over the past few years. I'm so delighted for Rachel and her girls, and I hope this podcast has given someone a little bit of hope today. Huge thank you to Dove for supporting the Good Glow. And our Christmas show, I can't believe I'm even saying this, we're almost sold out. If you're like me and you're the type of person that you get to the week of Christmas and you're like, I cannot believe it's Christmas. Like, where did the time go? We are going to kick off Christmas on the 1st of December this year together in the National Concert Hall. Our show is on a Sunday at 5 p.m., the perfect time if you ask me. And we're going to have Christmas lights, Christmas live music, Christmas trees. The National Concert Hall is going to be a winter wonderland, and I'm already starting to put together some amazing video content for the show. We're going to have live talks, live music, lots and lots of laughs. This show has it all. So if you want to come along and officially kick off Christmas on the 1st of December so you can feel Christmassy all month, bring your girls, bring your husband, bring your work colleagues, all your favourite people. We are in the National Concert Hall, and I will leave a link for the tickets in the show notes. See you next week.